Last week we looked at, to me, what I consider a pertinent paradigm, a pattern that was set forth in Abraham, and looked at the example of David. I want us to look at this morning what I consider one of the most important things for us to get through as Christians and for us to share with others. That is found in Romans 4, 13 through 21. The whole concept of Romans 4, 13 through 21. And before you can understand what Paul says further in Romans 5 and on, you have to understand this. And that is the concept of promise. We don't hear enough talk about this, and it's not preached on enough about the idea, the concept, and the aspect of the promise. It is so important. The promise is what it's all about. And if we do not get this right, we will not really understand the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Christ. As Brother Jack Cottrell says, the promise did not and does not come through obedience to whatever form of law one possesses, i.e. through law keeping. The whole focus of the rest of chapter 4 is on the concept of promise. Beginning with verse 13. I'm just reading verses 13 through 17 for now. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation, there is no transgression. For this reason, by faith, in order that in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Genesis 17, verse 5. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So let's stop there for a minute. The whole focus is on this. Is on the promise. And it's not just any promise. It's the promise. This is what it's all about. This is what we have to get through to people. Now, what was that promise? Well, if you turn back to Genesis, Genesis 17, it's also found in Genesis 15, where God first, for the second time, says it. Now this is the third and the last time he says it. Genesis 17, God says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly.' Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means exalted father, but your name shall be called Abraham, father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth for you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.' And God said further to Abraham, 'Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised.'" And he talks about the circumcision in that. So he goes on there. He tells him how he will be an heir of many nations. Three things there that God outlines to Abram, to Abraham. And that is this. And it's all encompassing the promise, the possession of land, he told him he would have a land, his offspring would have the land, possess land. He said, this is what multitude means. God said he would have numberless offspring. That means children. Genesis 15, God tells Abram, go outside. Look up in the sky. Count the stars if you can. Your descendants will be that many. Numberless offspring. Numberless children. Genesis 15, God also tells him that Abraham will be the source of blessing. For all nations, for all ethne, for all people. For the promise, going back to verse 13, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now that is hand in hand with what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In verse 29, underscore this. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. In verses 14 and 15 of our text in Romans 4, Paul explains why the promise cannot be fulfilled through law keeping. Literally, what it says in verse 14 there is, for those who are of law. What Paul is saying here is that the two ways of salvation are incompatible. You can't have law and grace together. You can't be saved by law and by grace. You can't be saved by law and faith. They are incompatible. He says it's void and nullified. Now you see, the Jews, the reason why Paul is saying that, because what the Jews believe that Abraham found favor with God, and he was declared righteous with God because, and they jumbled these three things together: faith, obedience, and law. They believed because Abraham kept it, then he was saved. And as they are descendants of Abraham, then they're okay, because Abraham took care of it for them. Now, it's interesting that the law wasn't given until 400 and some years after this was told to Abraham by God. Law of Moses was not given to Abraham. It was given to Moses and the children of Israel. So Abraham couldn't have kept it, because it wasn't even given to him yet. But the Jews believed that he did. And that's why he was made righteous through God, and as they were. But those two ways of salvation are incompatible. It is faith and promise. It is faith and the promise that go together. Not faith and law. It is grace and the promise that go together. Not law. Not law keeping. All the promise ever talked about was by way of conditions, was faith, not law keeping. Now, where else did you find this? Because this is very important to see. People want to think that Acts 2:38, specifically verse 39, means the promise of the Spirit. Now, it is true that when we're baptized into Christ, we receive the Spirit. But that is not the promise. That's not it. You look at what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Because this goes right in hand with Romans 4:13 and Galatians 3:29. This is so important to see, people. And as I said, folks, if we don't get this right, we don't understand the gospel of Christ. Now remember, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" They were cut to the heart. They understood it now. They believed it. So they said, "What do we do?" Peter says, "Repent, and each of you be immersed, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, the remission of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, we read verse 39 then. For the promise, he said, Peter is saying, this is what I'm telling you. Now I'm going to explain it to you. The reason. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. For the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off. Well, what's the promise? See, that's what we have to get. And that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 4:13 following and Galatians 3:29. If you are one of Abraham's descendants, not physically, not literally, spiritually, the promise. And if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendant, heirs according to promise. That promise that goes all the way back to Abraham. See? And it's what Paul talks about in Galatians 4 and following. What is it? It is being sonship, daughtership, if you of Christ, heirs of the promise. That's what we are. And God talked about that all the way back to Abraham. That's what he was referring to Abraham. It is faith and the promise that go together. And what God is saying and what Paul is telling us here, what God is saying through the Apostle Paul, and what Paul is saying here is that the promise is for all believers, not just Jews. But the Jewish people believed it was only for them. That's why they told Jesus, our father is Abraham. And what did Jesus say? See those stones there? God could raise up children from that. Because, see, the Jews thought because they were physically descendants of Abraham, they had an in with God. They were all right. They had it made with God. But that's not what Paul's saying here. And, see, they believed because that if you kept the law, you had it in. But that's not what Paul is saying here. I like what Brother Jack Cottrell says in this regard, that faith is the key that fits the lock that opens the treasure house of grace. Not law keeping. And that's what Paul is saying. So Paul goes on and he tells us about the nature of Abraham's faith. And this is important for us to see in relationship to the promise. Who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed. Abraham. So that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was also reckoned to him as righteousness. Paul wants us to focus on the object of Abraham's faith. The object of his faith, and that is God himself. As Douglas Moo says, faith has power not in itself, but because of the one in whom we place our faith. And as he said further, the Bible, and this is true, the Bible does not talk about faith, and this is something that's a teaching that's going on, that's been going on for years, in churches and such. The Bible does not talk about faith in miracles. But that's a teaching that you often hear. You believe in miracles. The Bible talks about belief in the God, about belief in the God who works miracles. Not belief in miracles itself, but in the God who works miracles. And there's a big difference within that. And we see that in Abraham's life. Now notice in verse 17 here, it's a present tense, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Literally what that it says is that God calls the not being things as being things. That's what it literally says. What's that reference to? Why, what Paul is saying, that's a reference to the power of God. Of God's power to create. That's something that mankind has wrestled with for years. They cannot understand that, how nothing can something can come out of nothing. But God can make out of nothing. We also wrestle with that thing of death. And you see that in this verse here. And now notice in verse 18 what it says here. In hope against hope, Abraham believed. This is the first reference to hope in the Roman epistle. Now, the word order in the King James Version here is incorrect. Literally, it means who against hope, in hope, believed. Hope is not the object. See, and this is why the King James is in word order is incorrect here in the Greek, the way they have it translated. Because they have it that hope is the object of Abraham's belief. But hope is not the object of Abraham's belief. His hope is that Abraham believed in that which God promised. That's the hope. Against means contrary to. In other words, Abraham's hope was based on what God could do, not man. As Brother Cottrell says in Scripture, hope is the confident expectation of our future possession of all that God has promised us. Abraham, that's what it says here. He was 99 years old. Impotent by that time, believed what he believed. He didn't have kids. But the interesting thing really in the verse here is that what it says about Sarah is that she was sterile. She was barren. And when and Paul is saying here, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Now as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness, the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in belief, in unbelief. He believed. Abraham knew that physically it couldn't happen. But yet he believed God that it would. And we know it did. That's why verses 20 and 21 gives us a paradigm to follow. You see, the consequence of Abraham's faith. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. giving praise to Him, there's a pattern for us. Giving praise, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, He was able also to perform. The consequence of Abraham's faith, it puts the lie to those who say, well, faith is just a leap in the dark. No. What Abraham did was not a leap in the dark. He didn't arbitrarily believe that God would do it. His hope wasn't on that basis. He firmly believed in the promise of God. There's an important point here, as Douglas Moo says, as our faith must be directed to the God in whom we believe, so also it must be directed by what He revealed to us. In other words, this, what He revealed to us. And that's what Paul is saying. Now he says, now not for His sake only was it written that it was credited to Him, but for our sake also. See this? But for our sake also. Who's the our? Well, we are. Christians. Believers. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. In the verbs in those verses 23 through 25, the verbs are all in the present tense. You see what that means? Is that it is a constantly recurring fact. God does this for believers for all the time. Not just in the future, but the present, past, present, and future. All time. Not just the final judgment. And that present tense here, in verse 24, it's a present tense. As those who believe, continue to believe. Not a one-time thing, but continual action. Their belief, it becomes a habit. It's a pattern of their life. And it continues on. And you find the final fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham here. Why this is so important for us to see. The promise. The promise of what? As those who continue, who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. What's that telling us is that you and I, we are sons and daughters of God. But we are sons and daughters of Abraham, spiritually. See? The promise of sonship. That's what God gave Abraham. That's what's passed on down to us. That's what we have. That's what is entailed in the gospel of Christ. We sing, we're going to sing. Stan, we're going to sing. We're so glad we're part of the family of God. But how do we become part of the family of God? Comes through Christ and what Paul is saying. But the family of God means that we are heirs of Abraham. That's what it means in Acts 2:39, for the promise of Abraham. God is saying, I kept my promise to Abraham. I established my covenant with him. I'm going to make him a blessing for all nations. How am I going to make him the source of blessings for all nations? Because the nation of Israel comes through him. And because Jesus, his one and only Son, comes to the nation of Israel. And we become sons and daughters of God, heirs of the promise that was made all the way back in Abraham. God kept that. How marvelous that is.